Today's shir is Masechta Zvachim Daf Kuf Vav, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Heyam Beis, 17 lines from the bottom, Yotze Elu Ve'elu. So we've been discussing in our Mishnah, in our Shiurim, the halacha, the various chattas, pnimiyas, the various kum chattas, whose avodah was done in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, and that the Torah teaches us a special din, that the people who carry it out become tamei. And the Tanakhama says that as soon as it's carried out from one machna, from the machna shechina, the people who carry it out become tamei. Ask the Gemara Manani Mili. Ask her, how do we know it? Answer the Gemara, the Tanar Abanan. Lohalom hu aimer. The Torah when it speaks about the power of the Kai Mashiach, which we discussed in Masechta Harius. The parhelm dovish al tzibur. The Torah tells us that they should be carried out chutz legimel machnas. And we'll see how we know that in a moment. Kan, and the Torah speaks about the par of a sor yom kippur, that it should be put out lemachna achas. So there's a difficulty. Because the halacha is, as we know, we treat all chattas pnimius the same way. So we treat all chattas pnimius the same way. Here we're saying that it should be taken out of three machnas, and here we're saying it should be taken out of one machna. Teaches us the Gemara. Why does the Torah say that that is the halacha by the Pavasar Shem Kippur? Loim Lach, the teacher, Kivin Shiyotz L'machna Achas, once it goes out of one machna, B'tam Begodim. It makes the people who carry it out tamei. So what we've accomplished is that we've established how we know. And whatever is the halacha by one chatos pnimi is the halacha by all other chatos pnimis, that as soon as it's taken out of one machna, the person is tamei. But ask the Gemara, we've said that the place of burning is outside of all three machnas. Ask the Gemara, v'higufa menolan, and from where do we know that that is dididin? Answer the Gemara, the pasuk says, v'hoitzi is kol apar el chutz l'machna. The Torah says that it should be carried out chutz l'machna. So says the Braisa, what does chutz l'machna mean? It means chutz l'gimel machnas. Ask the Gemara, at the oim chutz l'gimel machnas, doesn't mean indeed that should be carried out to all three. But if you read the words of the Pasuk, the Torah says, ayena ela machna achas. So this is a Pasuk by the Parakai Mashiach. And the wording of the Parakai Mashiach is that it should be taken out of one machna. The Braisa is saying it doesn't mean one machna, it means all three. How do we get there? Answers the Gemara. Answers the Braisa. Keshu oimer v'para eda mechutz l'machna. The Torah already said that the para eda should be taken out of chutz l'machna. Shein tzarech loimer. There's no reason for the Torah to say that. Shirei kva nemar. Because the Torah already taught us. We had the Gemara's consistently in Masech Tohoyis. Keshu sarf as a para rishin. So that the both parim, the parham dovish al tzibin, the parakai mashiach, should be treated the same way. So what does the Torah teach us? Again, it should be taken out to chutz l'machna. To teach us that even though the wording of the Torah is mechutz l'machna, it doesn't mean one machna, it means an additional machna. So what have we established? Litn loy machna shni, that we know at least has to be taken out of two machnas. Continues the Gemara. Keshu oimer, continues the Braisa. L'chutz l'machna b'deshet. We know that if there's an accumulation of ash on the Mizbeach, it should also say, the Torah says, it should be taken out mechutz l'machna. And again, we have the same issue. She'ein tzarech loimer, the Torah didn't have to tell us it should be taken mechutz l'machna. Shrei kfar nemar, because the pasuk says, as shefach hadeshen yisarif. So we know there's a place where the parhelm dovish tzibur is taken, where the parakai mashiach is taken, and that's the place where all the ash is. So why does the Torah have to repeat that when you're taking out the ash, it should be taken on mechutz l'machna? Of course it's mechutz l'machna. It's the place where the power is taken, it's where the different parim are taken, and those different parim, the Torah already told us, should be taken out. To teach us, litan lay machna shlishis. So that's how we know both halachas that we begin with. What are the two halachas? One is that when you do it properly, where should they be taken out? They should be taken out of all three machnas, one halacha. But, and this is relevant to the next piece of Gemara, according to the Tanakam Vamishnah, the people carrying it out become tamei as soon as they leave the first machna. Rav Shimon disagreed. As we learned, and we're going to analyze Rav Shimon's opinion as we get deeper into the shir. Rav Shimon's opinion is that the people become tamei only when they start burning, or when the people who are involved in burning the par do so. But then, what we began to share with is a difficulty. We identified that the Torah uses the words by the par v'sor v'yom kippur m'chutz l'machna. And we said that the Torah teaches us is that as soon as you go out of one machna, you're tamei. But Rav Shimon, who disagrees with that halacha, asked the Gemara, Rav Shimon, hai m'chutz l'machna, my ovedlei, what's he going to do with that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, the Baalei l'chetanya. He needs it for what we learned in the Braisa. Rav Elazar Omer, namakan chutz l'machna. The Torah by the par v'sor v'yom kippur uses the words chutz l'machna. V'nem l'halam, the Torah by the para aduma, that we know it has to be burnt, also uses the words chutz l'machna. Ma'al halon, where is the para aduma burnt? Chutz l'gim l'machna. Where the par v'sor v'yom kippur, as we learned in today's shiur, burnt chutz l'gim l'machnas? Afkan, the para aduma is burnt chutz l'gim l'machnas. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. If we're saying that Rav Shimon has this word chutz l'machna available to teach us that the par aduma is burnt chutz l'gimel machnas, this gzeir shava. The Rabbanon, who we began our shiur with today, don't have that available, because they needed to teach us that the people become tamei as soon as they leave one machna. So how will they know that the par is burnt indeed outside of all three machnas? So I saw two approaches in the Rishonim. One approach in the Rishonim is that the Torah, indeed, if we're learning a Gzeir Shava, so for Gzeir Shava to be valid, the Pasuk has to be available for the Gzeir Shava. But there's another concept. It's called the Gili Milsa. Gili Milsa means, to use a simple word, it means a taich, means a definition. If we've, in our shir, it's the most appropriate time to say it, see that the Torah keeps on using the word chutz l'machna, but what does chutz l'machna really mean? Outside of all three machnas. So now we're not up to a gzeir shava. Now we're up to a definition. What is the definition of the word chutz l'machna? Gimel machnas. So if the Torah uses the word chutz l'machna by the par aduma, you know what chutz l'machna automatically means? Outside of three machnas, and I don't need a gzeir shava. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach I saw in the Rishonim is just the opposite. Indeed, given that the Rabbanim don't have this Gzeir Shava, they don't have these Pesukim available, they will disagree with Reb Shimon. And although Reb Shimon is saying that the Par Aduma is burnt outside of all three Machnas, they're Taka going to learn, you know where the Par Aduma is burnt? Outside of one Machna. Chutz l'machna. And there's no Gzeir Shava, so he's Taichet Pashet. But continues the Gemara in saying, what do we use this Gzeir Shava, at least according to Reb Shimon 4? Umar Lahalan, the Torah says that burning the par aduma should be el noichach pnei oil moed, so it has to be a mizrach of Yerushalayim, because the opening, the door entrance of the Beis HaMikdash was on the mizrach. So if you want to face the mizrach, you have to be standing on the east side. Afkan, so too, when you burn all of these different parim and the srafim, it has to be done on the mizrach of Yerushalayim. And as the Achronim explained this Gemara, we would explain that when the Torah says el noichach pnei oil moed, the Torah is teaching us that when you burn the par aduma, you should be facing the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Say the Achronim, that's not what the Torah is saying. When the Torah uses the words Al-Noicha B'nei Al-Moyed, it's another way of saying the word Mizrach. So the Torah established that it must be on the Mizrach side. Now that we have a Gzeir Shava, we say so too is the Halach by all others. Ask the Gemara, so again, now that we've said that this Gzeir Shava is only going to work according to Reb Shimon, who has these words of M'chutz L'machna available for Gzeir Shava. But the Rabbanon, who began our shiur with, that used the words of M'chutz L'machna to teach us that the people who are carrying it out, and it's important to indicate who carries it out. So I saw that all the Rishonim agree that even a Zor, you don't have to be a Kohen to be the one to carry it out. I did see Machloikus Rishonim, if it could even be done by night. But the Rabbanon who need al-Mechutz l'machna to teach us that the people who carry it out, as soon as they leave one machna, as soon as they leave the machna shechina, become tamei, so where indeed was it burnt? El Rabbanon hechesaraf lehu, where indeed was it burnt? Says the Gemara, Kritanya. Hechen esrafin, where were the parvisar burnt? Letzofin Yerushalayim, on the north side of Yerushalayim, chutz l'sholosh machnas. So the Rishonim explain why specifically tzofin. Why do we pick tzofin? So Rishonim explained, we're talking about Kotche Kotchen. And as we learned so extensively earlier in our Masechta, Kachi Kachim, Shchitasayin, Betzafen. So we see that whenever we don't know what to do with Kachi Kachim, where is the natural spot to do it? Betzafen. Rabbi Yosef Glili Aimer, where was it done? A Beis Hadesh in the Srafim. They were burnt on the Beis Hadesh, which means that a place where it was ash. Machloikus Rishonim, Machloikus Rambam and Ravid, how to understand what does the Rabbi Yosef Glili mean? The Rambam seems to learn that it has to be a place where there was once deshin there. The Ravid learns it's not enough that there was just deshin there once, there has to be currently deshin. And this deshin, this ash, should be put on top of another ash. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Mat Tana the Polyglot Rabbi Yosef Glili, who disagrees with Rabbi Yosef Glili? Says Rava Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakovi. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov uses the pasuk to teach us Ashefach Hadeshin Yisarev, Shehei Sham Deshin. The Tanakhama says it has to be a spot where it was ash, as I just explained. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer doesn't come to teach us that there was ash. It has to be a place, Shem Mekomim Meshupak. It has to be a place that's on a slope, on a slant. Amar Abaya says, Abaya, who says that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is necessarily disagreeing with Rabbi Yosef Glili? It could well be, says Abaya, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yosef Glili that it has to be a place where it is ash. But on top of it, he says, not only must there be ash, but it must be on a slope. So if that's the case, everybody's going to agree that it has to be a place where there was ash. Dilma, and then Machloikis is strictly limited to Mekayim Meshubach Pligi. So the Gemara continues analyzing the opinion of Shimon. Again, to review. Unlike the Tanakhama, who holds that the people become Tamei as soon as they leave the Machna Shechina carrying the Parim and the Srafim, Rav Shimon's opinion is it has to be the people who are involved in burning the Parim and the Srafim. But what does that mean? Tana Abana has Sarif B'tam B'godim. The person who's actively involved in burning the carbon. Says the Braisa, V'loya Meitzis Or, not the person who lights the fire B'tam B'godim, V'loya Mesadis Merocha, nor the person who is involved in setting up the wood, B'tam B'godim, although the Ritva points out it could well be that according to the Tanakhama, anyone involved in transporting it will be Tamei. And according to the Tanakhama, somebody who's Masada the Merocha will be Tamei. The person, according to Reb Shimon, is the person who's burning it. Who is that individual, asked the Braitha. Veza Sarif, says the Gemara, HaMasai B'Shas Reifa. Whoever is involved in burning it, continues the Braitha, Yochel Af Mishanasa Eif Matam Begodim. After it's been reduced to ash, it could continue to be Matam Begodim. Tamaloimer, says the Pasuk, Oysam. Oysam Matam Begodim, as long as they hold the Matam Begodim, however, Mishanasim Eif E Matam Begodim. That's the opinion of Tanakhama. Shimon Oimer, Oysam Matam Begodim, Nita Chabosar, as we learned in the Mishnah, as soon as the meat decomposes, E Makadim Begodim, it no longer is Matam Begodim. Ask the Gemara, my Benayu, what's the difference between these opinions? Amravi Ikvenai the Shavi Charucha, where it got completely burnt, but it hasn't completely, so it's decomposed, but it isn't yet ash. According to Reb Shimon, it will not be Matam anymore. According to the Tanakhama, since it's not ash, it's Matam Begodim. Only when it's ash will it no longer be Matam Begodim. So I saw a fascinating discussion in the Poskim based on this Gemara, even though it's not relevant to Kachim at all. The Halacha recognizes to a degree when something is burnt. I saw two shailas in halacha. One shaila is that let's say you have a food that has in it talam, that has in it worms. But the processing of that food requires that it be exposed to extreme heat. Let's say it's, you know, grilled, it's exposed to extreme heat. And I'm not going into the shaila bitlis l'chatchila. And the worms get completely burnt. Would you be allowed to eat that food? That's one question. The other question, which comes up very often, is regarding medicines on Pesach. And I have to emphasize, if somebody needs to take a medicine, he should take the medicine and not ask any questions. But if a person is taking a medicine that isn't so important, and the medicine has in it chametz, but in the processing of the medicine, it completely destroys the chametz. It's completely chemically changed through processing. Are you allowed to take the medicine on Pesach? So there's the famous concept of achshavei, that even though it's been decomposed before Pesach, the fact that you're taking this medicine shows that you have a chshivas to the medicine, and that's why some people take a very strict opinion, especially, again, with medicines that aren't that important, vitamins, whatever. So there's some poskim that want to make a distinction between when the chametz or the taloim became nechrach or it became efer. Because what is our Gemara teaching us? That there are two steps in the halacha. There's one step in halacha of nechrach, where it decomposed, but it still has some substance to it, as the last piece line of Gemara said, versus when it's completely efer. And it seems that our Gemara, and the Shaul Chus Mishnah Halacha says this, is saying that once something is completely efer, then it has no existence in the eyes of halacha. And therefore, if in the processing of the food, the taloim are reduced to ash, or the medicine, then everybody would be agreeable that you could take it without a shayla, and there's nothing to discuss. Actually, the Miches Yitzchak says that this tshuva was sent to him, and conceptually he agrees with the tshuva. He only has one concern. He says, given that we know how serious of an aveira it is to eat talon, the Gemara says you're over 5-6 lavin, so you have to be sure that the taloyim, that the worms would indeed reduce to ash. So if you could be certain, fine. If not, you have to be concerned because of a shtar kashayla of a suffix eating a worm that has with it so many isurim. Hanun lacht for yom, hanun lacht for yom, hanun lacht for yom. Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Perek will discuss a subject that we've discussed numerous times in our shiurim. Hashaychet v'amala b'chutz. If somebody shechs a carbon outside the Azara, and he also is malit, and the machloek is what mala means. Some achroinim say that mala means that you burn it, you do it aktara. Other achroinim say that it's not just enough that you put it on a place where it's going to be burnt, but you actually have to put the fire. The Aruch Lener says you have to have two things. You have to put it somewhere, where this somewhere is, we'll discuss in the Mishnah later in the Perek, and then burn it on that spot. Although, the Mefarshim ask on the Aruch Lener's Pshat, we all know, we discussed it, I think, fairly recently, that Eliyahu HaNavi had a special heter to bring kabbonis on a bama. But he didn't put the fire on, he just put the animals on. The fire came in a shemayim. If the Aruch Lener is saying that it's not considered malah b'chutz until you actually put the fire, Eliyahu didn't put the fire. So why would he need a special dispensation? So the Achroidim say it's based on a Rashbam, that when you're expecting the fire to come, it's considered as if you made the fire. You can't say, well, I didn't make the fire, I shouldn't be chayiv. So again, says the Mishnah, Shoychet amal b'chutz, if somebody does a shchita b'chutz, or he does the aktar b'chutz, he's chayiv al shchita v'chayiv al halo, which means as follows. We will, amit Hashem, learn Masech the Krisis. In Masech the Krisis, we're going to learn that for any aveira, that if you did it b'mezid, you'd be chayiv karis. If you do such an aveira b'shoygig, you chayiv chatas. Teaches us the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time trying to find the sources for this, that there are two separate aveiras in the Torah. There's an aveira called shoychet b'chutz, and there's an aveira of mal b'chutz. So even if you did it in one lapse of unawareness, helam echad, since you did two separate aveiras, it's like Shabbos, you did two separate aveiras, you'll be chayiv two karban chatas. Rabbi Yosef Glili says as follows. If you were shoychet b'fnim, if you did the shechita properly, and then hela b'chutz, and you took that carbon that you shechted properly in the azara, and you brought it chutz l'azara for the halal, then you chayiv for the halal. However, if you did shoychet b'chutz for hela b'chutz, you're only going to be chayiv potter. You're not going to be chayiv. Why? Because says Rabbi Yosef Glili, shloi hela odav apostle. If you shechted a carbon inside, and after you shechted it inside, you take it outside. The moment you take it outside, it becomes disqualified. Since at that moment it becomes disqualified, you can't be chayiv for halal on something that's disqualified. Ask the Gemara, if you're right, that as soon as you shoych b'chutz, it's no good. and that's why you part for halal b'chutz. So I'm like, afashach b'fnim mal b'chutz. Kima shetzi apostle, you should never have a case that you shach b'fnim mal b'chutz that you chayiv, because the moment you took it out, it became disqualified. And that's why they argued Rabbi Yosef Lili. And the Mitzvah in the Gemara, we're going to see how Rabbi Yosef Lili defends himself. So as the Rishonim say, the next din of the Mishnah has nothing to do with the subject that we're learning. So why is it brought here? Because the dialogue that we find that Rabbi Yosef Lili had with Rabbanon is the exact same type of a dialogue. And a word of introduction is required. The Torah, we know, says you're not allowed to eat kabbanis, you're not allowed to kachin with your tummy. But there are two ways of looking at that. You could have what's called tumas haguf, that the person who eats it is tamei, or you could have a situation that the food is tamei, the kachma tamei. When the Torah says that there's a chiyuv karis, b'mezid, as I said, a chiyuv chatas b'shaygig, it's only if you're tamei. But if you eat the food when it's tamei, there's no chiyuv karis, and if it's only a chiyuv malkus, if you did it, says the Mishnah. Hatamei shachol, so the opinion of the Tanakami is, if somebody is tamei and he eats kachim, it makes no difference bein kodesh tamei, whether the food that you're eating is tamei or tar, you're over the savera, and there's a chiv chatas b'shaykik, chayiv. That is the opinion of the Tanakama, says Rabbi Yosef Lili. I agree, says Rabbi Yosef Lili, obviously, that a tamei sh'ochel tahar, that if somebody who's tamei eats kachim that are tar, he's chayiv. However, says Rabbi Yosef Lili, that tamei sh'ochel tamei, if somebody's tamei ate food which is tamei, he'll be potter. Why? Because he didn't eat anything. It's already tamei anyway. Shloyachal el dava tamei. Amrloi, say the Rabbanan to Rabbi Yosef Lili, if your line of reasoning is correct, then af tamei shach satar. Why? If so, you just said at the beginning of this piece of the Mishnah that if somebody's tamei eats something that's tahar, then he agrees there's a chiv karas chiv chatas. Why? As soon as this person whose tummy touches the kachim, tamu, he makes that food tummy. So how could you ever have a case that tummy shachal tar? It must be. It makes no difference if it's tummy shachal tummy or tummy shachal tar. We're going to come back to this in a moment. However, says the Mishnah, as I said earlier, for tar shachal tummy, let's say a person is tahar and he eats food that is tummy, then halach is his potter. Why? Only chayiv if he's tamei, not if the food is tamei. So in the previous piece of Gemara, what was the Rabbanan's argument against Rabbi Yosef Lili? That if a tamei eating food to be chayiv karis, chayiv chatas, has to have the food tar, he can never have it. Because as soon as he touches it, he makes a tamei. Ask Taifus, why do you have to say so? What happens if I'm tamei and you feed me tar food? Then it never became tummy, because I never touched it. So why couldn't Rabbi Yosef Lili respond that way? Says Taisus. Interesting Taisus. To say that when the Torah said there's a chi of karis for tummy shachal tar, there's only one case, which is not the normal way of eating, that you fed me, it's inconceivable that that's what the Torah meant. And since it's inconceivable that that's what the Torah meant, we have to explain the Rabbanan's position is understood. So I want to try to show how to learn a Taisus Gezunt. The Achrayim ask, why don't Taisus ask a different question? Taisus should have asked that there's another way how a Torah could eat food, how a Tomei could eat food that's Tahar. The food was wrapped in a wrapper. So you're not touching the food because it's wrapped in a wrapper. Why didn't Taisus ask that question? So there's two ways of understanding why Taisus didn't ask that question. And the two ways of how to understand why Taisus didn't ask the question, how to answer that question, have very serious halachic ramifications. One approach in the Achrayim is that Taisus would have said the same teretz. That the Torah, when it says about a tamei eating tar, is only speaking about a case where you wrapped it. Who eats food that's wrapped? And that's why that can't be what the Torah meant. That's one way of understanding, answering that question. Another way of answering that question is because if you ate food when it's wrapped, it's shalayka derech achila. And then you wouldn't have any chiv, because it's not the normal way of eating when wrapping the food. Where is this relevant? So I gave two very, Namei, the Achroinim, give two very different answers to this question. Let's review. If food is wrapped, according to the first approach we said, you'd be chayiv. The Torah didn't speak about it because it's not the usual case. According to the second case, according to the second din, you're potter. Why you're potter? Shalai kederech achila. So I come back to talking about medicine. And I have to say, if you have to take the medicine, you shouldn't have shailas. But let's say you don't have to take the medicine. And the medicine is not kosher. A vitamin pill, it's a gelatin capsule, and it's not kosher. So the nafkamina between the two terutzim of Tosfos would be, could you wrap it in a tissue and swallow it that way? According to the first approach, it wouldn't work. According to the second approach, it's considered shalai kederech achila. And shalai kederech achila is not considered an achila. So I have to also emphasize that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says in this tshuvas, the opposite of what usually is the case. Let's say you have a medicine that's not kosher, and it's in a capsule that is kosher. He says you can't call that shalai kederech achila, because that's the way this medicine is prepared, in the capsule. But if you have a medicine which is non-kosher, it could be according to one of the approaches that we explained. It's considered shalai kederech achila whenever it's wrapped. Shalai kederech achila is not also. Says the Gemara. A word of introduction to the Gemara as well. The rule is, ein onchim elon kemas here, which means that for every aveira in the Torah, for it to be considered an aveira, you have to have a pasuk in the Torah that teaches us the oinish, the punishment for the aveira, and the ashara, the lav. Without those two, you can't get the punishment. So begins the Gemara. Bishlama, hala, regarding the issue of hala, ksiv oinish, ksiv ashara. The Torah has an oinish and ashara. Let's learn. Oinish the ksiv, the pasuk says, v'apasach loy moy loy vi, nechras anef shahit, as a chiv karas. Ashara, the ksiv isham lecha, pentala alesecha. Wherever the Torah uses this word, and El Elai Sasei. I saw a gevalda gevart from the Rav Shitzer. The Torah says, Hisham lecha, pentishka Hashem alakecha. And our Gemara, the Rav Shitzer asked the Chayza of Lublin, says that Hisham means alav. So says the Rav Shitzer, what does that mean? The Torah is saying, Hisham lecha, Pentishka Hashem Elokecha. If you forget Hashem for one moment, you chayiv alav. So he asked the Chayza, who's the person that could say that he thinks about God 24/7? That the Torah says you can be chayiv alav. So how do I avoid that laugh? So the Chayza answered that the Gemara says that let's say somebody has a davar chashuv. You own a mansion. You own something very important. The Gemara assumes that you never forget about something that's important to you. So said the Chayza, what a person is supposed to do is make God important in his life. Once God is important in your life, the Gemara says anything that's important you never forget. And you won't be over the laugh. Continues the Gemara. El shchita, what about shchita schutz? Bishlam oinish, the oinish to shchita schutz, the Torah says, the ksiv, the pesach el moed lo yaviyu, you get karis. But ask the Gemara, El Hashar Menolan, where is the laugh for Shechitas Chutz stated? Answers the Gemara, Amakrav Leiz B'chod. The Torah says Leiz B'chod, that's where it teaches us Shechitas Chutz is awesome. Ask the Gemara, Hamibay Lichter Belezer, we need that pasuk to teach us another halacha. Domer, Rabbi Lezer explains, B'nayin L'zavik B'heim L'makulis. How do we know if somebody slaughters an animal for this Avodah Zorah? Shuchayiv, it's considered that he was an Oyvid Avodah Zorah, the Ksiv, V'layiz B'chayiv, of Chayiv. Nim im en enyel kadarkoi, if this is the normal way that this Avodah Zorah is worshipped, I don't need a Pasik, because there's another Pasik. We learned from Masechta Avodah Zorah, the Ksiv, Eichu Yavdu, that if you worship the Avodah Zorah in the normal way it's worshipped, you're certainly Oyvid. Tenele, Shalai Kadarkoi, the Torah is teaching us, that even if Avodah Zorah is, if this Avodah Zorah is not normally worshipped through Shechita, if you do a Shechita for it, Yechayiv. But the Pasuk is needed for that. How could it be used to teach us the din of Shechutei Chutz? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava, Kribe V'loyiz B'cho, Kribe V'loyoy. The Torah didn't have to say both, so we can learn both halakhas from it. ask the Gemara, we still have an issue. A katan ribay lechretanya, we need it for another brisa. Atan humedaber, the pasuk, the pshat in the pasuk is referring to a situation. Bekotchim shekdishim v'shasis rabomis, as somebody who's magdish an animal when bomis were prohibited, as we know that whenever there was a mishkan standing, they were not allowed to bring kabbonis on the bomis. Whenever there was no mishkan standing, they were allowed to bring kabbonis on the bomis until the Beis Hamikdash was built. And then bombs became permanently prohibited. Atkan umedaber, the Torah is teaching us b'kdash b'kachim shekdishim shas isabomis b'krivam b'shas isabomis. If you both magdish a mak of a carbon, then shrei onshin omer, that's what the Torah tells us about pesach ayamoyed, and that's the nichrus, so that yichayev kars as hora, that yichayev alav for bringing such a carbon the ksev shamlcha pentail salasecha. But continues the Braisa. Mikan Velech, the rest of the Pasuk is teaching us, Bezvachim Shekdishim V'Shas Het Rabamas. We just learned that the Mishkan was inaugurated on Rish Chodesh Nissan. So what happened, this is the way the Brisker Rav explains the Gemara. Let's say somebody was Magdish Behema before the Mishkan was inaugurated. But he never got a chance to bring the Behema as a carbon until after Rish Chodesh Nissan. Bezvachim Shekdishim V'Shas Het Rabamas. The Kriv Mishas as Isra Bomas. How do we know that even though you were magdish when there was mutter, you're still not allowed to be makrivit, not at the base Mishkan was erected? Shnemar, because the Pasuk says, Laman Shivu b'nei Yisrael Zavchem Hashav Zoychim, Zvachim, the Pasuk teaches us, Shetat Lechem Kvar, that I already said to you may bring, Apnei Saida, that when you were allowed to bring them outside the base of Migdash, outside the Mishkan, now that the Mishkan is up, you can't bring it. Lomeloch, to teach us, has a veyach, that if this, you bring this carbon, that you were magdish previously, but if you're now makrivit, b'sha'as Israel bomas, if you're makrivit outside of Mishkan, ma'alav akosav, the Torah looks at it, kilom hikra plain saw that you did something completely wrong. Vivim Hashem, so mitzvah say. Loisa say minayim, how do you know that you're over a lav for doing so? Tamalam v'lo yiz b'cho'oit. Yachol, continues the Braisa, that if you were magdish a behemah b'shas hetabomis, and you were makrivit b'shas isabomis, you should get the same kores as if you were magdish a b'shas isabomis and makrivit b'shas isabomis. Yachli ayonish kores tam loimer chukas oyem tiyas zos lahem l'doresam zos lahem. Only if you were magdish b'shas isabomis and makrivit b'shas isabomis do you get kores v'lecheres lahem. So where are we up to after this long braisa? The pasuk is needed to teach us other halachas. So I'm back to where we started. The Mishnah taught us that if somebody is does shchut echutz, b'meizah does a chiv karis, b'shoigah does a chiv chatos, yes, the chiv karis is explicitly said in the Torah, as the Gemara quoted the pasuk in Amun Aleph. But where's the lav? Ela omer revavin, ela mabaya kavachoyma. We make the following kavachoyma. Uvamash makam shloy inish, hizer. If in the place where the Torah doesn't give an einish, in the place where there is no chiv malchus, still there's a lav mokim she'onish. Certainly, if the Torah teaches us an einish and then shehizer, it's implicit that if the Torah told us there's a chiv karis, it's obvious that there must be a chiv lav. I will explain this more soon. Actually, in tomorrow's show, Amalei Ravina Ravashi asked Ravina Ravashi if this is a legitimate line of reasoning. Why does the Torah have to teach us that you're not allowed to eat chaylev? We can make the following kavachomer. Taste the kavachomer in nevela. Ma nevela. Shloi onish. By nevela, there is no chiv karis. The Torah teaches us that you're over a lav. Chaylev. So certainly by chaylev, sha'onish. Where Yechiev Karis ain't a din shehizer. So why does the Torah have to say explicitly the lav by chaylev? Why can't we learn it this way? Says the Gemara, Osla Kamei de Rava. This question was brought to Rava. Amalei b'nevela nami lo ya'asyo. You can never learn the lav of chaylev from the lav of nevela. Dikla mifrach. Because although, as we just said, chaylev carries a Yechiev Karis, nevela doesn't. But on the other hand, Mal Nevesh came Matama. The veil is Matama, and Chelev is not Matama. Mishrots and Tameim. So again, the Gemara says, if the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat Shrots and Tameim, and there's no Chiv Karas, certainly we should understand that you're not allowed to eat Chelev with a Chiv Karas. Again, says the Gemara, you can't learn from Shrots and Tameim, because Mal is Shrots and Tameim, Shematama and Mashu. There's a Chiv even by Mashu. The Rishonim say it's not actually a mashahu. It's a kadasha, the size of a lentil. Mishrotzim tahirim, where the halacha is that shrotzim tahirim are not metame, but you're not allowed to eat shrotzim tahirim. Matt says the Gemara, that too is not a valid kavachoymer. Again, the Gemara is suggesting what should be the kavachoymer? That if shrotzim tahirim, which there's no chiv karis, there's a lav. Certainly for chayla, which has a chiv karis, there ought to be a lav. Why does the Torah have to mention it? Says the Gemara, you can't learn from Shrotim Tahirim. Because Mal Shrotim Tahirim, she's Surim B'mashahu. So the Machlokes Rishonim had to understand what Surim B'mashahu means. Some Rishonim learned, Chiddush, that every Sheretz is also even B'kadasha B'achila, B'chiddush. Other Rishonim say that's not true. The Shia from Macholos Asuris is always a Kazayas. But usually, a Sheretz is very small. And we learned that a berry is also, even if it's less than a Kazayas. That's what the Gemara means. Again, the Gemara says, "Me all of a kalei kerem." Why can't we say that there's a lab by chaylev because learning with a kavachoyim from all and kalei kerem? If all and kalei kerem that don't carry a chiv karis, there's a lav. Certainly, chaylev that carries a chiv karis ought to have a lav. Says the Gemara, "Mal all of a kalei kerem sheshurim beno." Chaylev is not osu b'havno. Says the Gemara, "Mishvius." Why can't we learn the iser chaylev, the lav of chaylev? From the lav of Shvius. And as a machlokes, what is the lav by Shmita? Some say eating Perish Shvius that weren't handled properly during the Shmita year is a Chiv lav. Others say that the Chiv lav is eating Shmita produce after the Zman beer is a Chiv lav. Says the Gemara, Mal Shvius, Shekain Tafesas Bamel. Shvius has a special chumrah that if we exchange Shmita produce for something else, that item that it was exchanged for also has the Kedusha Shvius. So I saw a Gevalde Gevart from the Achroinim. Again, we don't live in Eretz Yisrael, but it's a very important question. The Rishonim ask, why didn't the Gemara ask a different teretz? Why didn't the Gemara say, the Mal Shvius, she came also Bahano. Chelev is not also Bahano. Say the Achroinim. From here we see that Shmita is not Osir B'mashahu. Why didn't the Gemara say, that Shmita is Osir B'mashahu and Chelev is not Osir B'mashahu? From here we see that Shmita is not Osir B'mashahu, some Achroinim say. Where does the question come up? The question comes up again, for those that live in Eretz Yisrael, they can have an appreciation. The halacha is, by Shmita, l'ochla v'loyla hefsid. You're not allowed to waste Shmita. So what happens if you're making Havdalah of Matzah Shabbos with Shemitah wine or Shemitah grape juice? And what the minig is that you pour some wine for waste on top of the candle to extinguish the candle. That wine is wasted. Or, by the Seder, the minig is, by the Makis, you take some wine or grape juice out of your cup. It's wasted. The Chassidus Shasram said you have to throw that wine away. So you're not allowed to waste Shemitah wine. So if we're going to say that our Gemara teaches us that if it's less than a kazayas, there's no problem, then maybe we're not, it could be done. And if not, it would be also. The best is to avoid the shayla. The truma, says the Gemara, why can't we learn from truma that there's no chiv karas, and still also, certainly chaylev? Says the Gemara, you can't learn from truma, shekein lo yehut mechlola. Because truma is never mutter to Yisrael, chaylev is mutter. Why? Because the halach is that chaylev of a behema is osir, the chaylev of a chaya is not osir midaraisa. Says the Gemara, now that we have this teretz, said all the kashas, we could have said the same teretz, shekein loyhutim mechlolim. So we're back to where we started. We're saying, we're looking for a source, how we know that shchut echutz is osir. Amarav, ikashali. Again, if we're saying that a kavachoyim is a legitimate source, hakashali. Hadatnan, it says that Pesach Amila, if somebody doesn't do Pesach, bring the Karm Pesach, or Mitzvah Smila, the halacha is that he's chayiv koris, but it's a mitzvah to say. Why? Why don't we make the following kavachoymer? Mimaiser. The halacha is that if you leave food carbon over, it becomes nicer. But there is no chayiv koris for leaving carbon past the right time. So why don't we make the following kavachoymer? Mam maiser shloi onish. If by nicer, where there is no chayiv koris, his ear, there's a lav, Pesach umila, where there's an onish, as I just said, there's a chiv chorus, enedin shehizer, there should be chiv lav, we know it's only mitzvah say, not mitzvah slice say. Omer of Ashi, amrita l'shmatza kamed Rav Kahana, I said this over to Rav Kahana, v'amali m'moysa loy asya. You can't learn Pesach umila from moyser. Why? Dikla mifrach, ma'ala moyser, shekem loy otakana. If you left carbon past the right time, you can't rectify that. It's past the expiration date. Time of Pesach. By Pesach, you can rectify it. How could you rectify it? Yesh leitakana, by bringing a Pesach sheni. So it's very interesting. And there's machlokes rishonim. The Gemara began with Pesach and Mila. And now in the Teretz, the Gemara only mentions Pesach, not Mila. So some rishonim say Mila also has a takana. You could always make a bris. And some rishonim say that Mila should be taken out. Why? So they connect to a very famous machlokes rishonim. Machlokes Rambam and Ravid. The Gemara just taught us that somebody who doesn't have a milah is chayiv koris. That's a pasuk in the Torah. But when is he chayiv koris? The Rambam says only if you live through your whole life and didn't have a milah, then you're chayiv koris. What that means is a separate conversation. The Ravid says every day that you don't have a milah, you're chayiv koris. So say the Mefarshim, that's what is the machlokes of the Gersos here. According to the Rambam, that you only chayiv koris at the end of your life, so Mila is just like Pesach, you can always rectify it. But according to the Ravid, every day that you missed having the Mila, you chayiv koris. So it's not rectifiable. It's not rectifiable. Because if I didn't have a Mila today, the fact that I'll make a Mila tomorrow won't change that today I didn't have a Mila. So Mila is not like Pesach. Pesach, yeah, Pesach Sheni, which will completely rectify your missing Karm Pesach. Mila of tomorrow won't rectify that I didn't have a Mila today. And that's why it's the Machloikas of Gersos is connected to that Machloikas Rambam and Ravid.